This is CES Tech Talk. I'm James Kotecki, exploring the trends shaping the world's most powerful tech event, CES 2026 in Las Vegas, January 6th through 9th. And we are back for a brand new season. Today, we're kicking things off with some familiar and friendly voices who are not only returning to this show, they are returning as the hosts of CES itself. That's right, I could only be talking about Justine Ezerek, aka iJustine, and Brian Tong. They are YouTubers, internet personalities, tech-obsessed nerds in the best possible way, and the official hosts of CES 2026. This January, they will once again walk the CES show floor, followed by cameras, adored by fans, and trying out the latest tech, like celebrity cyborgs. I can't imagine two people more excited about CES or better suited to hype up what is waiting for us in Vegas. Brian, Justine, welcome back to CES Tech Talk.
Woo! Hey, yay. Let's get them hyped, Justine. Let's get them hype.
Woo! I can't wait. I'm so excited.
All right,
I can't wait.
You're coming
either.
In with the yes. woos. You're coming in with the hype. Brian, you're hosting CES again. What has you the most excited for 2026? Give us the headline.
The headline is I get a co-host with the hostess with the mostest, Justine, my friend, before we even did any of this stuff. So this is, look, the energy is awesome. It is our tech. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. I'll call it, it's our tech big event, that big bowl that could be really super. It's like that, but for the tech space. And there's so much energy, so much innovation. It's great to see friends and familiar faces. It's the biggest event for
our community. We've already got lawyers on the show, thanks to you.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Brian. I didn't say it.
Sorry, Justine, go ahead. What are you most excited for?
No, I mean, I think not only is it exciting to see the tech, but also seeing the people that are there, people that not only watch our videos, but we meet so many incredible people in the industry who are really just changing and paving the way. So I just can't wait to see everyone.
And look, if anyone's seen your content, both of your content from previous CESs, there's no question why you're excited to go back for CES 2026. You embody excitement every time you go to the show. You bring the excitement to the viewers. You take us to all these different sections of the show and show us all the different technology that's there. So we're really excited and grateful that you're back. Justine, let's kick it off with AI, which kind of dominates every tech conversation these days. It's no exaggeration to say that it's going to be everywhere. It's going to be in everything. It's going to be in every conversation. So how do you think the AI conversation evolves and sharpens at CES 2026 when all these tech minds are actually in the same place?
Yeah, we've seen it shifting so much more into AI the last few years. So I think before the last several years, it was like, okay, here's AI. This is what we think it's going to do. Last year was like, okay, here's everything that it is doing. And now this year, we're really seeing, you know, everything that has happened over the last year and now in the future beyond. We're going to be seeing AI agents. So this is going to be creating systems that can proactively make decisions, plan actions, and pursue goals for you. So this is like your personal AI friends. We're going to have digital twins. AI on device is going to be huge. We will no longer have to collect to the cloud. Our phones, our laptop, our TV, our smart glasses, everything's going to be built in. And then we're also seeing a ton of robotics. So all of these robots are getting smarter, more autonomous, and it's going to be really cool to be able to see it all.
Brian, speaking of AI, CES 2026 has a new destination called CES Foundry, which is going to be focused on AI as well as blockchain and quantum technologies. Tell us a little bit more about that and what it means that these technologies are getting some focus now.
Well, you know, what's always fun about going to CES is there's new areas to explore. There's so many areas to explore. So this is a new, let's say, like a hangout or a space called CES Foundry. It's going to be over in the Fountain Blue, which is next to the main convention center. So you can go and walk over there. But this is going to be a dedicated space where we're going to showcase some of the cutting edge advancements, specifically talk about AI, but blockchain, quantum technologies, which really I kind of think got some buzz last year. And people are starting to learn more about what is quantum, how it can help us in the future, how it's coming on the horizon. But really, the AI discussion, a lot of things that Justine talked about, I'm really fascinated about where things are going in robotics. We already have robots like robot vacuum cleaners, robot pool cleaners, robot lawnmowers, but we're talking about now more robotics from maybe robotic assistants and humanoids that are helping do tasks for people, different levels of accessibility. So that's kind of fascinating for me, but AI is everywhere. I think if we had a drinking game for this podcast, we'd already be pretty deep into it. But
we'd already be lost, or we would have won, depending on how you see it.
Yeah, but CS Foundry, I mean, this is really like a almost like an educational platform to help attendees and help hosts like us really just understand the nuances and the complexities of all these emerging cutting edge technologies. And I think that's great where there's a educational aspect to this whole thing, because sometimes you can get lost in the sauce with so many things to see, but to actually sit down and breathe and learn a little, I think that's huge. And this is going to be one of those spaces to do that.
Brian, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, but last year when we chatted on this podcast, we asked you, I think, about what quantum was and what that meant. And I believe you're able to give us some kind of definition. So now here, as we're recording this podcast in August of 2025 in preparation for CES 2026, what's your take? What's your sense of what quantum actually means?
So this is fascinating. When you talk about meeting people at CES, I was having like a lunch break and I ended up sitting down with a guy. He's basically part of this elite group that works with the government directly and with companies of developing quantum computing and defining it and how it can work to our advantage. And what I really learned about quantum computing is it's okay. So let me see if I can explain this properly in a quick way. A lot of times the way that computers and devices are used to making decisions is either like by ones and zeros, but quantum is in a constant state of change and flow, and decisions it makes aren't just based on one and zero. There's multiple directions it can go. And why that is important is because he talked about how our brain works. He said the reason why quantum computing hasn't necessarily hit mainstream is because the computers are not sophisticated enough to truly keep up with these innumerable outcomes and possibilities that can happen instantaneously and change instantaneously based on variables. And so for that to happen, and also for that technology to be get scaled down to a smaller size, that's really the next generation of the tech we see getting smaller, faster, better. And when that happens, I think we're going to see that next big, big shift in technology. But that's what's happening in it. I mean, he spent, I think, 45 minutes talking to me and I was blown away. I was like, I need to talk to this guy more because he's someone that probably we should have at the CS Foundry.
I mean, first of all, thank you for responding to that. I think you did a fantastic job.
I don't
job
know if
considering
I did.
I just
I
tossed you
did.
That. I just tossed you that question. When you said you met an elite person that works with the government at CES, I thought you were going to talk about like Tony Stark or something, putting together the Avengers initiative or traveling through time.
James, Tony Stark isn't alive. James, if you, I'm just saying, Tony
not
Stark
in,
is passed
not
on.
In certain timelines. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, wow. Now we're getting nerdy.
But what's interesting about that, I think, is if we're talking about a type of sophisticated computation that we can't even fully understand yet, or totally understand how it'll be used, that harkens back to an earlier era where there was computation coming online and people weren't certain about what to do with it. And now so many of the answers to the question of what is this for are on the CES show floor. So it's really exciting to see just the beginnings and the developments of this stuff, as well as the instantiations in the products. Justine, please feel free to make any Avengers or time travel references that you like. But we're also interested in your perspective on, you know, just covering cutting edge tech. You've been a YouTuber, internet personality, content creator, however you want to define it, for a while. You cover all this cutting edge tech. How do you help your audiences understand technologies that are maybe like quantum, genuinely revolutionary versus things that are kind of making incremental improvements?
Yeah, I think for me, I just kind of go into it with the mindset of what would I want to watch? And I like to have fun with tech. And so I kind of try to present that in the most natural and casual way possible, because I think it is really hard. You know, we're talking about some really high tech information and not everyone really wants to hear the high tech speak. And so I kind of try to spin it both ways, give them, you know, the tech specs, but also make it fun and engaging for pretty much anyone to be able to understand.
Do you, Justine, have a highly calibrated radar for when something is overhyped, when something is maybe underhyped, when something's truly going to be revolutionary versus like, oh, that's just kind of a cool gizmo? Have you honed your sense of that?
You know what? It's really hard because at CES, everything kind of looks really fun, even if it is silly and gimmicky, because a lot of times the stuff that they're showing is sort of an example of something that could be. And, you know, this thing that they could be creating, this, I think it was like last year, I think we were looking at like a spoon that basically shocked your tongue into tricking you into thinking that you were eating more salt. So, you know, like silly things like that, which you would think, who's going to use that? But then medically, you know, this can be great for people who want their food to taste better, but they have to cut back on sodium. So it's things like that where, you know, it might not be for everyone, but for some people, it can be life-changing.
Brian, speaking of the hype that surrounds things at CES, sometimes technologies like 3D televisions get a lot of attention, but ultimately they don't really make it. Is it possible, you know, to Justine's point, to not get caught up in the hype when you're at CES, when you're seeing all these shiny things and they have all these amazing potentialities?
The answer is no. The whole point of going to CES is to get caught up in the hype, right? Here's the thing, right? I remember, Justine threw out a good example. Okay, for example, before smartwatches were ever a thing, they really did first appear at CES. Before they were a mainstream product category, I believe it was LG that showed off one, and then there was another company at the time called Pebble that was doing a Kickstarter. But there was a lot of hype around that device, and then look what happened. Companies like Samsung and Apple and Google, they now have their smartwatches. It's been years since that happened, but there was a lot of hype around, oh my gosh, it's a computer on your wrist. 3D TVs, they did make it to mainstream, right? Sometimes we see things at CES that don't even get outside of the walls of CES, but 3D TVs did make it. It's just that consumers at the time decided against it, right? The costs involved, the glasses, quite honestly, technically, they could bring back 3D TVs as a feature, but because there was such an aversion to that whole idea, a lot of companies have shied away from it. You see a lot of projectors now offer an option for 3D, but you don't see mainstream TV saying, hey, this is a 3D TV, because people are like, that's something that, although very cool, and I bought a 3D TV back in the day, it didn't resonate with the mainstream customer. So I think it's okay to get caught up in the hype. Justine and I have seen plenty of things that were like, this is incredible. And it can be incredible, but can also lead to other things just because that doesn't survive to make it to market. That the idea, a lot of these companies, you know, we'll talk about Eureka Park later, they're planting seeds that larger companies that can maybe bring this to scale are then doing. So no, you got to get caught up in the hype. It's just part of CES.
So then, Justine, let's bring in another technology or set of technologies that has had a lot of hype. I think the future is kind of questionable or debatable for these things. And I'm talking about smart glasses, VR headsets. Obviously, it's huge at CES. It's pretty pervasive if you look around. And even a casual person, if they were to imagine CES, might imagine someone with some kind of goggles or headset on their face. So they look cool. They look like the future. Where do you see this technology right now? And could we see breakthroughs that make them go into a place of more mainstream adoption?
Absolutely. And I love smart glasses. So, I mean, I pretty much wear the Meta Ray-Bans every single day, most of the time just for sunglasses, but also the fact that this is built-in technology that if I have a question, I just ask my glasses. If I want to take a photo or take a video, I instantly can do that. I've also been testing out some other sort of glasses right now that there's a Kickstarter for, and it's like a heads-up display. So it is able to do live translations and things like that is where this is going to be huge. And, you know, I sometimes think that Google Glass was a little bit too early, because if that was relaunched right now, I absolutely would be wearing that. And, you know, I think that's where I really love augmented reality versus sort of virtual reality, because it's something that you can take into your everyday and it can really actually make a difference. Where virtual reality is also really fun, I think there's a lot more that we can do with augmented on a day-to-day basis.
And I think this is one of the places where being at CES and being able to literally put your finger on the pulse of where technology is now can give somebody a better sense of this stuff and maybe a bit more of a hint of where the future could actually go, versus if you just sit back and say, oh, Google Glass was a thing back in the day and now no one does it, and VR, it didn't really work out, and now on to the next thing. You might miss the fact that maybe this technology is going to have a second coming or something like that, where it could actually be, you know, extremely successful. And I tend to agree with you, Justine. I think this is going to be huge.
For sure. Yeah. And I think a lot of it's also price point. And as the technology gets better, these prices are going to be able to come down and it's going to be more accessible for people.
I want to pivot now to what I might call non-traditional tech companies, things like John Deere, Caterpillar, companies like L'Oreal. These companies show up at CES, and then sometimes, you know, you get a sense that they surprise some people. Like, what's a company like that doing here? And they surprise people because they actually are very tech forward companies. You could define these companies as tech companies. Brian, what's another industry that you can see emerging at CES and maybe surprising people with how tech focused it really is?
As you know, we've been fortunate enough to go to CES for, over a decade, and see how things evolved. If I had to pull one out that's maybe not what people might be expecting. I might say food, like food industry tech. And what I'm talking about is, you know, you talk about AI and robotics, and even just from a device standpoint, we've seen food tech continue to grow and grow. The space at CES gets bigger and bigger. Whether it's a brand like, when you talk about these big names like John Deere and L'Oreal, I could see a company like McDonald's one day being a part of showcasing their tech for their operations or things like that. We're already seeing it at a home consumer scale. So if I had to say an emerging industry that maybe tech is happening more than we think or realize, I'm going to throw out the food industry.
And maybe the lesson of CES is that tech is so pervasive in every industry that nobody should really be surprised when any company shows up there. Right? I remember, I think Delta kind of made a big splash. I believe it was 2020, but Delta last year at CES 2025 obviously did a huge keynote at Sphere. And nobody would think, oh, an aviation company is not a tech company. Obviously, aviation requires a lot of technology just to get people in the air, but also all the tech around the consumer experience, which I think is a lot of what Delta was highlighting there. That's another thing that maybe people don't think about it day to day, and they just think about tech companies as like the FANG companies or whatever, however they're defined. But really, it's just extremely pervasive.
Also, yeah. Oh, go ahead, Jay.
No, I was just going to say like cybersecurity, because there's so much more happening in this space that, you know, a lot of people are being taken advantage of because of AI, because of bots, because of scammers. So I definitely feel like that's going to be a huge shift, ways to protect ourselves, ways to tell if AI is real or if it's not, because I fell for the rabbits jumping on the trampoline. So I'm not proud of it. So it's like things like that, I think, that are going to need to be created so that we can have a more sense of safety when we're online and even in the real world.
Okay, CES is all about new and emergent technology. Let's talk about the very heart of that technological emergence, Eureka Park, a section of CES. Justine, you've said that going to the Eureka Park section is like getting a sneak peek into what the next 5 to 10 years is going to be like. So what do you hope to see or expect to see at Eureka Park at CES 2026?
I mean, I hope to see cool stuff, which I guarantee I will. And, you know, you really cannot expect or come into this thinking, oh, I'm probably going to see this time, because everything there is so off the wall and forward thinking. And it's cool because someone could be sitting there with a tiny little table with some piece of tech that is going to be something that alters the entire universe over the next course of the 10 years. So it's like you really have to look, because so many people are showcasing so many things. I think there's over like 1,400 startups, and they have these spaces from over like 36 countries are in this area, and it's so overwhelming. And that's one of the places that you definitely have to check out.
Speaking of many different countries, CES is a global show. So, Brian, with everything that's going on in the world right now, what do you say to folks outside the U.S. who are thinking about coming to Las Vegas?
Well, if they're outside the U.S., I'm saying come on out to Las Vegas if you want to go to the greatest tech show, the greatest place for innovation every year. I mean, we're like welcoming them all with open arms, because the big thing about this show is that innovation, right? This is like a nonpartisan pro-innovation forum where a lot of the ideas that people are thinking, there's a lot of dreams out there. Like when we talk about Eureka Park, these are people with actual dreams, whether it's a personal story, whether it's something that happened, you know, along the way in their journey, that they're trying to make a difference in the world. Now, there are some people that are also trying to make a lot of money. That's okay. Both can coexist, but that's where it all happens here, right? At CES, this transcends borders. Like innovation it's not specific. Innovation doesn't lock out anyone. There's innovation that can happen in all types of places. And this is really truly a global event. We see it by the people we talk to, by all the countries that are represented on the show floor and the Eureka Park. So I just say, bring your A game, have fun, and come on out, because if you have an idea, this is the platform to take it to.
Justine, anything you want to add there that resonates with you about the international aspect of CES?
It's really cool, especially being a creator. I know Brian and I both have international audiences. So not only is it really cool for us to get viewers who are outside, it's also getting the perspective of a worldview, because I think sometimes we are so locked into what we're used to, kind of getting to explore and see what other people are creating. And I think it is really awesome to kind of see that open mind and the technology that's being shared throughout everyone and how it's able to make a difference.
Okay, Justine, we're going to move on to digital health now. And I want to reference something that you said in a previous interview on this show. We've combed through the archives and we have found that you said that you were so ready for a health implant that could monitor all your vital signs. You said that you would even get that done, I guess, implanted on the CES show floor. I am not going to actually hold you to that, but I think it's good context for how into this you are. So if you're so clearly excited about it, what are you anticipating for CES 2026 as far as tracking and treating health conditions?
Now, I don't remember saying that, but I would say that. So I'm pretty sure I did say it. That still stays true for this year. I might do a little more research into the company before, you know, going under the knife in the middle of the show floor. But I do still feel like that is something that hopefully in my lifetime will be something that we can do. But I feel like, you know, even living on, like, I think this would be something that's great for children because you're able to monitor them 24/7, know all of their vitals. But the show floor last year was incredible. And I think we saw a huge jump in health tech. A lot of people are looking for more longevity. And I think that's been a huge trend that we've seen in podcasts and everyone trying to live healthier. Like, what exactly is that that we need? You know, these direct to consumer health solutions, and this lets individuals take charge of their health. We don't need to go to the doctor. We have everything that we have at home that can get us the help that we need. We looked at, I think it was the OnMed care stations. We reviewed those last year and it was really cool. They're putting these in remote areas where people don't have access to healthcare and you're connected to a doctor. They have a system that will take all of your vitals and be able to assess you if you need to get further medical help. So things like that is really changing the way that people are able to get healthcare and also making things more accessible. Different smart devices for home assistance, mobility aids. And there's a lot of things like this that will help people who aren't able to help themselves. And also, I'm a woman and women's health sometimes also gets overlooked. So I think there's a lot more people now kind of pushing that agenda forward and making sure that women are getting the healthcare and the research that we need because our bodies are different than men. And a lot of times we need different things than each other. So it's cool to sort of see that also coming into play.
You mentioned OnMed, which super fans of this show will recognize from a previous episode. It absolutely is a very exciting time in digital health. Brian, something that you are clearly excited about is robots. You've already mentioned them, I think, once or twice in this interview alone. And of course, there's going to be a lot of robotics at CES 2026. So give me a gut check on the spectrum from Roomba to Star Wars. Where are we right now?
Where are we? So Star Wars meaning like a full-on like C-3PO
droid
assistant?
Just helping us do everything, yeah.
If that's a 10... And I'm not saying, you know, a robot vacuum is a one, but let's just for the purpose of this experiment, I think we're probably around like a 7 or 8, to be honest. We're starting to hear about companies actively working on, you know, humanoid androids that are assistants that are going to start potentially being in our homes in the next 3 to 5 years, right? Not, and this is not on a large scale, but at least from a, even when you talk about health and from a medical standpoint, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not saying we're seeing a C-3PO like level character, but right, we have physical AI that allows machines to interact with humans and their environment. So this is happening. We've seen demos from a lot of companies. You know, what is it? Boston Dynamics, which was acquired, is it Hyundai that owns them now? I believe that they've shown off just how insane their robotics are getting. So as we go on, we've heard other stories about, you know, just like robot arms being placed in the kitchen on a display. We'll have to see how that plays out. But right now, to get to something at that level, I think we're like 3 to 5 years away from it starting to actually come into the consumer's mind. It may be not something that people think about right now or something that they need. I think it might be a little bit more determined on, you know, where you are in your phase of life. If you're older and you need more assistance, I think that's probably where it's going to be the most effective. But you even have stuff where it helps you emotionally. Like there's this Tombot Jenny robotic emotional support dog, right? I remember the Aibo back in the day from Sony. That's been around for, geez, has it been almost 10 years, even longer than that? And
maybe.
Right? And
yeah, because my sister had one.
Right? So we've started to see like even in that, just from the joy and like an emotional response to a robot like that, it already is kind of coded into our brains that we do react to things like that. So I think we're getting pretty close, honestly.
I referenced Star Wars in that question to you, Brian. So much of this is colored by science fiction in terms of how people perceive what's possible, what they're excited about, what they're afraid about. Another area that's really been colored by science fiction is mobility. Justine, I want to do another gut check with you in the mobility space. What are current technologies telling us about where we are headed in terms of getting around?
I love this because I love just the whole space of transportation, EVs, and CES. From what I've seen, it's ridiculous. I mean, there's so many different things. We were checking out the flying cars and something else. I've worked pretty closely with John Deere. So not only do I love seeing what they're doing in the space at CES, but seeing everything that they're doing in ag tech, making it possible for farmers to basically use AI to weed out weeds without having to damage any other crops. And it's just been really cool to kind of see that change as well. And with AI and the ability to have vehicles that are driving themselves, I think I now will only go places that a Waymo can take me. So, and I think that's saying a lot when you start actually using these and trying them. There's also a lot of things happening in the marine space. So having self-docking technology and electric boats for safety and protection of the marine ecosystems. There's also air mobility, not only larger aircrafts, but something that's, you know, these small little helicopters that are drone-like that we can actually fly ourselves. So it's so amazing to kind of see all of that there.
And those are going to be some spectacular videos when you and Brian are flying around in your own little helicopters at either, maybe it's not CES 2026, but hopefully very soon we're going to
get
that.
They've done demos before. There's obviously a lot of safety stuff, but, you know, Justine and I got into that crazy Sony cinematic car. So why not? Why not? We could do the first flying car demo, right? Why not?
Brian, I do recall, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, the one guy promised us
he could take
a ride in it. I haven't forgot.
He did. There we go.
And now everybody who's listening to the show knows that you guys need to be the first flying car demo hosts with the most, however we're going to define it. Okay. Well, once again, a extremely fantastic, fun-filled, and fast-paced conversation with the two of you that is unfortunately almost at its end. And so I want to give both of you one more chance to give us one more insight. So question to both of you, starting with you, Brian, what's one technology trend or innovation that you think might surprise people, something that people might not be giving as much attention to right now, but that could be a big story at CES 2026? Question to both of you, starting with you, Brian.
I feel like I'm being put on the spot again, James.
100%.
Hold on. Let me think about it. Okay. I'm not copying out, but if they really want to learn and be surprised, I think CES Foundry is the place to go. And I think that absorbing as much quantum tech information as possible, so you can explain what I explained even better, that will blow your mind. You will walk away wondering, just thinking like, okay, this is way bigger than any of us, and I kind of get it and I kind of don't. It's literally a thing that companies like Google and many more are pursuing. So I'm going to say it may not be getting that much attention, but it could be a big story at the show. This is, I guess, arguably the second year we're really featuring it, quantum computing.
Great answer.
Yeah, I think that's really fun too, because it is so new. So being able to go over there and experience something that is new to CES, that's even bigger, and it's going to be so game-changing in the future. Again, I know I kind of keep going back to this because I've done a lot of stuff with John Deere over this last year. Just seeing the ag tech, like, I'm so fascinated by their ability to just create things to help these farmers and for us to get cleaner food and also renewable resources. It was really fun. I got a chance to go to NASCAR. They were showing like all of how they're basically turning corn into fuel. And I was like, I didn't know that that was a thing. I thought corn was food. So just kind of having that mindset shift of things like that is really fascinating. And I think CES obviously is the place to go to have a mindset shift and have your mind blown. So you do not want to miss it.
It's interesting how much food tech has come up in this conversation. And when I think about food tech, I think about like, that's the original technology, right? Like the plow or the wheel or like just basic stuff to figure out how to go from a hunter-gatherer society to a farming society. That was like the big technological breakthrough that allowed civilization to happen. And if people are still focused on it now and finding out even better ways to make us tastier and nutritious morsels, then I'm all for it. Brian Tong and Justine Ezerik, our time is unfortunately up. I wish we could go longer, but thank you. Thank you so much to both of you for joining us and kicking off this truly epic season of CES Tech Talk.
Thank you so much. This was so fun.
Thanks, James. And we'll see you at CES.
We will see you at CES, and we hope to see you at CES as well, you being the person that is listening to my voice right now. That's our show for right now, but there's always more tech to talk about. Be sure to follow, subscribe, like, comment, and whatever else you need to do to keep the algorithms happy. You can get even more CES and prepare for Vegas at ces.tech. That's ces.tech. Our show is produced by Nicole Vidovich with help from Paige Morris and Doug Weinbaum, recorded by Andrew Lin, and edited by Third Spoon. I'm James Kotecki, talking tech on CES Tech Talk.